Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Since I've been in the hospital and under a doctor's care, I've come to really love my chart. Anybody familiar with my chart? Oh, you know, Maple, we're probably power users here at Maplewood with my chart. My chart is, if you're not familiar with my chart is an online internet-based portal that gives patients access to all sorts of information and capabilities that we never used to have when it came to our health. To our lives. I used to be, it used to be that your medical chart was in a paper file at your doctor's office in some filing cabinet. Our original family doctor, his name was Dr. Narden. We loved Dr. Narden. He was our family doctor for years. But I can remember going to Dr. Narden's office and watching him pull out my file, and he had a pencil, and he would write his notes about my medical history in his paper file. Okay? And he did it in pencil or pen every time. And you could look back. Every once in a while, I'd get a glance at that. But most of the time, none of us ever got to even see what they were writing about us in that file. I wanted to know. I'm curious. You never knew what was going on in that file. He could have been, you know, putting pictures of Ziggy in there or something like that. We would have, this person is really boring, helpless, no hope. All sorts of fun notes in there, right? But with my chart, they keep all those records on computer now. They're always sitting at a computer typing in everything. The nurse comes in and types, and you know, I'm thinking she's playing video games or something like that. She's taking your blood pressure, types something in. Doctor talks to you, the whole conversation. He's typing things into the computer. And now that all that stuff's on computer, and now through my chart, you can access all your personal medical information through an app on your phone. You just get your phone, and I love it. I got it on all of my devices. You now have access to all that information in all one place. Access to all the medicine you need to take. I tell you what, I am a pharmaceutical manufacturer's dream right now with all the medicine that I'm taking. I'm taking more prescription medicine right now than I ever have in my life. And I like that MyChart thing because it remembers what I need to take, and it reminds me if I need a refill, blah, 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 blah. You can figure out all that information on that little device. You have access to all your doctor's notes. All the doctors, so did he say you were hopeless or helpless? Maybe not, I don't know. But for the first, you know, I had surgery back on June 2nd, and I went into my chart after I was feeling a little better, and I found like a 10-page write-up on my surgical procedure. Well, everything that they did for me. And I'm like, is he like digging in me and then typing? I mean, what's going on here? But it was like it was a play-by-play of the surgery, and I didn't realize how severe of a surgery I had until I read those notes. And I was like, oh my goodness, I was a little scared, Bill. I was just a little slightly frightened by all those notes, but I got all that information off of my chart. You have the ability, I love it. I've got a doctor's appointment next Friday, physical therapy. And you know how you have to go in, you have to fill out the forms every time? Who loves to fill out forms at the doctor's office? Nobody's raising their hands? What? Come on. On my chart, you can fill out all those forms electronically 5 days before you ever get there, and you just zip in. No more forms that you have to fill out in the waiting room while you're waiting. And Mary Lou. So Mary Lou is Bill's my chart. And my favorite thing that I love about my chart is I have the ability to ask my doctors and nurses questions in real time. And they will answer me back within like 12 to 24 hours most of the time if I have a question about my condition. That is awesome. It is a medical miracle that we have access to all this information. It gives us control and it gives us the ability to manage our health, I think, more proactively. But many people don't use it, Bill. My nurse told me at one of my recent appointments that they wished everybody used my chart. You can get on your computer and sign up for it. You can use it on your phone. She said people make all sorts of excuses about my chart. I don't trust that technology with my personal information. It's out there anyhow, just so you know. I don't know how to set up my account. It is kind of challenging, but once you get it, it's pretty cool. I'm afraid I might mess something up. Maybe I'll tell them I have, you know, some horrible disease, and you can't do any of that. All you can do is look at it. You can't edit anything. But she said it was amazing the excuses that people make to deny themselves access to one of the most transformational developments in modern medicine. Access to your information. Pretty, pretty powerful. And, you know, as I was reflecting in my bed last summer, I was thinking about how much I love my chart and the adoption issues that people have with adopting this new technology. And I really came to the realization that we all sometimes have similar issues with tapping into the power of prayer. A reluctance, a fear, an unwillingness. And I'd just like to take a couple of moments this morning to address that reluctance to truly become a people of prayer. The early church had prayer issues. You know how I know? Because James wrote to the early church about their prayer issues in James chapter 4 this morning. The apostle James, he had this brief letter. It's a great letter if you're just looking for something to study and chew on. This little letter that James wrote to the church right after the book of Hebrews, you'll find what he had to say some about prayer in the fourth chapter of his book. And starting in verse 2 this morning, I'm just going to read a few verses this morning. He writes to the church, people who are Christians, people who've made a decision to follow Jesus. The church is the audience here. So if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're aspiring to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life, this message this morning is for you. This is for you. James chapter 4, verse 2. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The King James Version is, in verse 2 there, is you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. In other words, James is saying to the church, when are you really going to get serious about learning how to pray? Being a disciple of Jesus isn't just believing in Jesus as our Savior. It's learning to become a Christian. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into us and cleanses us of our sins, but then there's something that we need to grow into as followers of Christ. There's expectations that the master rabbi has for the disciples. If you're going to follow me, you're going to learn something, whether you want to or not. And the expectation for us who are followers of Jesus, for the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be serious about learning how to pray. We need to get serious about learning how to pray. We're not born necessarily sometimes with an innate sense on how to pray. As a matter of fact, if I asked somebody to pray publicly this morning, some of you may like dive under the seats and hide so I can't see your face. Don't ask me to pray in public, Pastor. I've had people tell me that straight up before. And I try not to do that without asking people beforehand. But when are we really going to get serious, church, about learning how to pray? Don't complain because your prayers are ineffective. Don't gripe because you're afraid to truly adopt the discipline of prayer. Don't let fear hold you back from receiving God's best in your life as we learn to become people of prayer. You have not because you ask not. In other words, your prayers aren't being answered because you haven't truly learned how to pray. This is James' message to the church. This is his challenge to us as we're aspiring to follow Jesus. I read somewhere once that often we pray in reverse. Often we go to prayer, we have learned how to pray in reverse. It's like learning to drive a car, but only learning how to drive that car in reverse. Some of you are like, well, I'm awesome at like doing that and parking parallel and all that jazz. It's a special skill to be able to drive a car in reverse, But you aren't really going to get very far driving a car that way. Legally, you'll get a ticket probably if you're out in the street driving the car down the road in reverse. You see, friends, when it comes to praying, many of us have adopted a dirty little habit. Dirty little habit. We come to prayer asking God to join us where we're at. God, you come to me. We come at it as a you join me where I am at. But in reality, if we're going to really learn how to pray, prayer is an exercise where we should be seeking to join God where God is at.
That's
right. We need to learn that we should be seeking to join God where God. Prayer is really an exercise of figuring out where God is at, moving toward God. But we've been ingrained in our minds somehow mistakenly that prayer is about having God come join us where we're at, in our little foxhole with the grenades falling down upon us, where we've made all sorts of bad decisions, things are blowing up, and now I need rescued out of here. God, come rescue me. Dirty little secret. Prayer, friends, seeking God out is frequently an away game. You know? Ohio State had an away game yesterday. They were over in West Lafayette at Purdue. You know, and I remember, you know, we talked about band and football seasons. I love Friday nights. I really loved home games because they, you know, people came to us and it was easier and there was tradition and it was just you knew what to expect. But prayer is often an away game. We got to go. We got to get up. We got to intentionally move our hearts
outside the four walls
to where God is. To where God is. We have not because we ask not. We have not because we lack the desire to ask. Think about that. We lack the desire to ask. We lack desire because I really believe our attention just gets pulled in 1,000 different directions in this life that we're living. There are just so many things that grab our attention and we get fixated on the things of this world. Anybody ever get fixated on the things of this world?
Amen.
Come on now. It's really easy to get fixated. Some of you are thinking about lunch. You're fixated on the things of this world. Don't worry. We're going to get you out of here on time. Unless you're a board member. And then pray for them. We find it hard. I mean, let's be honest. We get so busy and we wear ourselves out sometimes. We find it hard to even want to pray. To really pray. To really lean in it. Because we got stuff to do. We got deadlines to meet. We got places to go. I ain't got no time to rest. Sabbath rest. That's for sissies. I don't need any of that stuff. I need to go. I need power. I don't need to rest, Pastor. We need prayer. We need to learn how to pray. And the enemy, I think, of our souls doesn't need to pull us into some sort of scandalous sin, folks, to make us ineffective.
Hallelujah.
All he wants to do is suck the desire out of us to pray and be concerned about kingdom things, to numb us like Novocaine when you go to the dentist. That's his strategy for the church. Make them ineffective as prayer warriors. Just make them ineffective. Make them numb. Make them have no power whatsoever. Where's your desire this morning? Where's your hunger for prayer today? It's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. If we're to become people of prayer, where's my desire? Do I even want to become a person of prayer? We have not because we ask not. We have not because we've lost a sense of urgency for kingdom things in our lives and in our prayers. You know, this is one of the things that I think we get fooled about all the time too. We get fooled into thinking we've got all the time in the world. Got all the time in the world. We are all banking on the fact that we're going to get up tomorrow morning and go do our thing. But nothing's guaranteed. You know, I preached a sermon on Mother's Day weekend, and I haven't been the same since. Life took a right-hand turn on me. Nothing's guaranteed for any of us. We have loved ones who are lost, folks. We have loved ones who don't know Jesus. We have friends and neighbors whose eternal destiny is at stake, and yet we lack any sense of urgency in our lives. There's no evidence of any sense of urgency in our lives, in our prayer lives, to intercede for these individuals. Prayer bores us. When I pray, Pastor, I fall asleep. Maybe you need a nap. But part of learning how to pray is learning how to pray and not fall asleep.
The disciples had a hard time with that too.
Yes, they did. We're fooled into believing in our lives that there are more urgent matters that we need to tend to, that deserve our time and attention. So we neglect becoming a people of prayer. We neglect becoming a people of prayer to the detriment of their lives and to our own. Amen. To become a people of prayer, folks, we have to develop a sense of urgency. And I don't know about you, but a lot of the times I don't find myself internally motivated to become a person of prayer. Sometimes I don't feel internally motivated to take out the trash. But Pastor Vicky says, Joe, it's trash night. And I have an external motivator, and those were the good old days back then when I was doing that. I still haven't been able to take out the trash since my surgery. But I needed an external motivator to say, hey, dude, it's time to take out the trash. I didn't have it in myself. I needed an external source. And we lack a sense of urgency when it comes to praying and interceding on behalf of the loved ones that don't know Jesus in our lives. We need a power from outside of us to come into us, to change us from the inside out, to give us a sense of urgency for the lost.
Amen.
Not many amens to that one. We need a power from outside of us, the Holy Spirit, to come into our hearts, to change our hearts from the inside out, to give us a passion and a desire to want to even learn this wristband. Sense of urgency. Prayer has to become a higher priority if we're to become the people Jesus is calling us to become. If we're to become the faith community that Jesus is calling us to become for Springfield.
Amen.
But we have not because we ask not. We have not because many times we don't even know what to ask for. We don't even know what to ask time. Sometimes when we go to prayer, we're at a loss for words. Again, if I ask one of you to pray, you jump under your seats. If I asked you to pray in public right now, many of you wouldn't even know what to say. Some of you would be great. You just wind me up and I babble forever. You're like, we know.
We love you, Pastor. Amen.
To become a people of prayer, we need to learn what to pray for. That's part of what we're learning. You know, we're like, you know, and it's okay to say, I'm not really sure what to pray for. That's okay.
Amen.
Because we can't start dealing with what we need to learn about until we acknowledge that we don't know something.
Amen.
Got to get over our bad selves, as Pastor Vicky would say. She's over there right now saying, stop jumping around, is what she's saying. We need to learn what to pray for when we approach the throne of grace. And to learn that, that means we need to spend more time in the Word.
Amen. Start praying the Word.
Start praying the Word, that's good. We need to be more in the Word, reading it, meditating on it, reflecting on what the Word means to us in our lives. Because part of prayer isn't just us talking to God, it's God talking to us. And one of the big ways God talks to us is through His Word. It's through His Word. To become a people of prayer, this is what it means to go deeper with Jesus than we ever have before in our lives. How's your prayer life this morning, church? And you might say, hey, I pray every morning, Pastor. I pray every morning, I do all these things. Guess what? You pray every morning, you do all those things. What's the new thing God wants you to apply in your prayer life? He wants you to learn more. Maybe you're first grade. Maybe you're second grade. Maybe you got a bachelor's degree in prayer. as you're following Jesus, great. He wants you to go for a master's degree. We need people with master's degrees in prayer. Amen. People whose prayers are effective. The prayer of a righteous man is effective, James says later in this letter. We need people in our church, folks, with PhDs in prayer. I don't feel like I'm there yet. I'm your pastor. We need to be always growing in prayer. Learning what to pray. We have not because we ask not. We have not often because we don't know how to pray properly. Jesus shows us the way. He shows us how to pray. As a matter of fact, his disciples, that original 12, they had a front row seat to him in real life. IRL is what we say these days after the pandemic. We love getting together with people in real life. They had Jesus in real life, face to face. They could smell his bad breath. Jesus had bad breath? He was human in every way that we were. I'm sure he had beautiful teeth. They were there in real life. And they said, Master, teach us how to pray. And he didn't hesitate. And we know this was a consistent teaching because we see it several times in the Gospels. He had a special, different, new way that he was teaching his disciples to pray. As a matter of fact, Jesus shows us that the proper way, how to pray, is to ask not my will, but thy will. Not my will, but thy will. Can you do it with me with the fingers? Not my will, but thy will. You're almost there. Not all of you are doing it. Not my will, but thy will. Father, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is not, may my kingdom come and may my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's may your will, God. He's praying to Father in heaven. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. But so often that is exactly the opposite of how we pray. Lord, rescue me. Help me. Break glass in emergency. Give me comfort. I hurt. Boy, I've been praying that a lot lately. Give me comfort. Give me the perfect job. I don't like my job. Lord, give me my perfect job now. I want it. I'm hungry. Give me the perfect mate. Give me the perfect child. All God's people said, amen.
Give us a perfect pastor.
Yes. Give me relief from what ails me. Give me. Upside down, inside out. We have not because we know not how to pray. Friends, we don't really know how to pray until we understand what it means to personally submit to God's authority in our lives. See, when we believe in Jesus and we ask him to come into our hearts and save us from our sins, that's part of it. But to be his disciple is to come to him and also give him our whole selves. To give him authority over every corner, every aspect of our lives. It's kind of a dual journey. Part of it's salvation, but part of it is consecration. He has saved. Why would we do that? He has saved us from an eternity of damnation in hell, away from God. Wouldn't we want to just give him everything? Because there's no way we could pay him back. It's the natural reaction to the saving grace of God when he saves us. If we truly believe that he saves us, and if we truly allow him to do this work in us, we are going to naturally want to submit to his authority in our hearts. And if we're not really sure we want him to have authority over everything in our lives, we're kind of setting with you know, feet in both worlds, and we're going to feel conflicted and ineffective, and we're going to be miserable. And I think I've said it before to you, in this journey with Jesus, there's no sitting on the fence. You're either living or you're dying, spiritually speaking. And we're not really going to know how to pray until this submission to his authority is done in our hearts and our lives. We're going to underperform. We're going to not be able to meet expectations from a prayer standpoint in our own minds or in God's mind until we submit to the authority of God in everything in our lives. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's the first prayer that we must learn. The first prayer that we must learn is all to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. The first prayer we must learn to pray if we're going to go deeper with Jesus than ever before. All to Jesus, I surrender. Submitting to his divine authority. When we do this, when we submit, when we finally go all the way, we're actually figuring out how to put the car in drive. Instead of driving it in reverse, we figured out how to put it in drive and start moving forward with speed and effectiveness. When we learn that prayer starts with humbling our hearts and surrendering to God's will for our lives, that's when we really start becoming people of prayer. Otherwise, we're just fanboys and fangirls watching the real people do the real stuff.
Help us not be participants.
In order to go deeper with Jesus than ever before in our lives, we need to become people of prayer, folks. We need to learn how to truly become thy kingdom come people and mean it. We can say it by heart, but do we mean it? Do we really want his kingdom to come? We need to learn to become thy kingdom come people, abandoned entirely to God's will, regardless of the cost. Available to do God's will right where we find ourselves, and enabled or empowered to usher in the kingdom rooted in humility. Thine is the power. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. It's all for his glory. At first, I was skeptical about the whole my chart thing. Even at this beginning of this journey I had this last summer, I was one of those skeptical people. I was like, I hurt too much to go through the 7 steps to get into my records, to set it up. And I had to do it because it had to be my eyes or my thumb or whatever on my, Pastor Vicky couldn't do it for me. I had to do it so I could get it on my device. And I was thinking to myself, I don't need that. But then I realized my need. In the wake of all that, I realized my need. And as I realized my need, I overcame my fear. I figured out how to use it. And it has made a tremendous difference in my recovery. It's actually made a tremendous difference even in my mental health, because I can get questions answered and not worry about things that are freaking me out. Maplewood, it's the exact same way with prayer. It's the exact same thing with prayer. We need to realize our need as a church body. This morning, we need to overcome our fear and put our full trust in God by surrendering to his authority in our lives. And when we do, when we really start leaning in to become people of prayer, it'll make all the difference. Do you believe that? It's going to make all the difference in our retreat, in our treatment and recovery from sin, in our journey with Christ. And it will make all the difference in our ability to help propel Maplewood into the next chapter of its future. We need to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit. We need to have spiritual babies, and we need to all become people of prayer.
Amen.
3 things we need to do to grow as a church. Are you in? Are you in? Are you in? Am I like standing up here all by myself? I don't want to be the guy that like runs and takes the hill and the rest of the pack is 50 yards behind him. Are you with me?
Amen.
Come on, Maplewood, stand with me this morning. Let's stand this morning. Father, we come to you today, Lord. And Lord, we just received this challenge this morning to evaluate where we're at in our prayer lives. All of us have a prayer life. And for some of us, we get A pluses. And for others of us, we get poorer marks. Lord, give us a desire. Give us a desire to pray more. Lord, give us a sense of urgency in our hearts and minds for the lost, for those whom we should be interceding for in prayer. Lord, teach us what to say when we pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Whether we've got a first degree education in prayer or whether we've got a PhD, Lord, we want to go deeper with you. Maplewood needs people of prayer. Your kingdom needs people of prayer. This is how we fight our battles in this world, through prayer and through Scripture. Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would just challenge each and every one of us to just really honestly reflect on where we're at in our prayer lives today. And Lord, help us this week to identify maybe one or two things that we can do to advance and get more serious about our prayer life so that we can go deeper with you than ever before, so that we can be transformed into the people you intended us to be, so that we can contribute to the building of your kingdom through the Maplewood Faith Community in the days to come. It's in Jesus' name, all God's people said. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.